The following was recorded in front of a live studio audience at the Studio 21 Podcast Cafe. This is the United Podcast Network.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
By tomorrow, I will rule the world!
You think he's gone? He's not gone! That's the whole point! He's never gone!
Is this some radical new therapy?
You see?
Well, I must have not been paying attention. When you were just talking to me.
Yeah, you need some rhythm. I saw that dance. You are an embarrassment to all white men.
I agree with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I don't know what that dance move was, but you look. Have you ever seen the Seinfeld episode where Elaine goes like this? Chrissy, he danced at the bash, and he did like this thing, like he was having a seizure.
Oh, no.
And every white guy in the room, like,
cringed.
Yeah, it's like,
boy.
He has no rhythm. I'm sorry.
Well,
too
mean.
Funny.
Can't have everything, can we?
No.
Nancy was hysterics.
I saw her.
I looked over. She was not just doubled over. She was halfway to the ground. Hilarious.
I think she was regretting saving your life at that point.
Yeah, probably
she was.
Was
like, why did I save this guy? He's killing us.
I saved him just to subject ourselves to this.
Yeah.
I was popping and cracking all night.
Oh, yeah. You were popping and cracking all right.
Oh, man. Probably might be a good idea to get my sponsors up, too, right? We're dwindling on the sponsors. We need a couple more sponsors. Because we lost that guy. We lost that guy.
Yeah. Who did we lose?
Well, we lost that one.
Why?
And then we lost that one.
Is there a reason?
Finances.
Oh, okay.
Economy. They're coming back, but...
Here it comes. Ba, 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 ba.
Yeah, see, I feel good today.
You sound good today.
My body still hasn't recovered, but...
That's all right.
But I feel better. Like,
riding the high.
I'm getting no sleep, but I am feeling better. I was walking a lot better today, too. Melvin Taylor's playing tomorrow night.
Ooh, yeah, tomorrow night.
I can't remember where, but... I would promote it if I could. So we lost him. We lost him.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised at this one.
Well,
aren't things good there?
Yeah. Until recent court action, yes.
No, this one, the one you're highlighting.
Oh, yeah, because of the new ones.
Oh, okay.
The new one.
All right, we'll figure it out.
All right. And then this guy's out.
Oh, speaking of AFC.
That guy's out.
Lisa Williams wasn't there?
She was not there.
I need to talk
to
her.
We'll give her a hard time about that.
I need to talk to her.
I love her. I think we're having lunch today after. What are you doing after the show? Well, let me text her and see if she'll join us for lunch. All right. Let's get this show on the road. Hi, how you guys doing? My name is Tom Duggan. Here's the Paying Attention Podcast. Hi, atop Two Guys Smoke Shop at the Studio 21 Podcast Cafe. Now, we had our annual charity bash that everybody knew we were running because it's all we talked about for about 3.5 months. We broke all kinds of records. We broke more records this year than we've ever broken as far as fundraising totals and stuff. And I have to say, like, I want to say it as a positive. I know it's going to come out negative, but I want to say it as a positive. You know, over the last 15 years, I've applied to be on various different nonprofit civic organization boards, you know, exchange clubs, rotary clubs, those kind of things. I'm the president of the Lawrence Lions Club, but I applied to a bunch of different organizations to help them raise money for scholarships. In fact, one of the reasons that we started this bash is because I applied to two very prominent civic organizations to help them raise money for scholarships and was turned down because I was too controversial. I was going to hurt their fundraising efforts. Over the last 36 to 48 hours, I have fielded no less than 8 phone calls from local civic organizations saying, hey, Tom, we saw how much money you raised. How'd you do that? Can we meet with you and pick your brain on how we can raise that kind of money? And some of them were great, like the Lawrence Exchange Club, which I love to promote. And I've never applied, so they never turned me down. But a couple of other organizations that I'm not going to mention because I'm not trying to make this negative, but a couple of other organizations that have now called and said, hey, Tom, you know, I remember you tried to apply here a while back, and which one of you is still interested in joining? I'm like, no, I'm all set. No thanks. And I was like, well, why are you calling? Like, you're just calling out of the blue because you want me to join your group. And they're like, well, we saw how much money you raised in scholarships. We only raised like $8,000 last year, and we worked all year to do it. We're wondering if we can pick your brain as to how to do this. Like, how do you do it? And I was like, well, you know, I'm not being a dick here, but I tried to join your organization to help you raise money for scholarships, and you guys turned me down. So we started our own. That's why I do it myself, because I applied to a bunch of different places so I could help other people, because that was my mission, is to help other people. And you guys all turned me down. None of you wanted any part of me. You said it was too controversial. You didn't want the politicians mad at you. You didn't want it to hurt your bottom line. So you all threw me out the door. You all rejected me. And now it's just really funny how it all comes full circle.
Yeah, because
we raised $58,000
You did $54,000 last year.
Yep.
Now, it's safe to say that the economy is not as good as it was
right,
last year.
Right, way worse.
And you were up 8%
yep.
to 58,000.
Oh, you figured this percentage. That's pretty
oh,
good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been rooting for these kids. So from 54 to 58,000 is 8%.
Yep.
Round, give or take,
sure.
a here. So going up 8% when the economy's down 4% is people saw.
Right.
People took notice.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. I said all along, there's no way we come close to what we did last year, because for 2 months I was down. I was either in the hospital or in bed at home. And we usually start planning this on September 1st of every year. On September 1st, we have our first board meeting. And that's when we start planning on how to raise money, who to tap into. We start going over our list of who gave last year.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, we didn't start it until the end of December.
Correct.
And we actually didn't even have a date for the bash until the third week of January. So when we finally got a date for the bash, we were like, okay, now we can actually start the fundraising part of this. And there's no way in a span of a month and a half we're going to beat what we did last year when we started last year on September 1st. So I just told everybody at the table, listen, don't be disappointed if we walk into the room the night of the bash and we didn't make as much money as we did last year. As far as I'm concerned, the fact that we've been having this bash is a freaking miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just be happy with whatever we raise. And wow, did my readers and my viewers and the business community and the nonprofit community and my neighbors and my family and my friends, and even there's a guy downstairs smoking a cigar that I had never met before when I walked in and said, hey, Tom, I was following you on my phone, and I was so excited for what you're doing, I even kicked in $50.
Yeah, it was two things. Number one, you had a challenging year, so people felt compelled to help out. And number two, it was the 20th. So
right.
You might experience a hangover next year on the 21st.
Right, yep.
So you don't know, but it's a great accomplishment.
Thank you. No, listen, it's not me. It's a team effort, and I don't say that out of false modesty. It is a team effort. I'm the guy out front that drives things.
Yeah.
But if not for all the people on my bash committee, and I'm going to try and name them all, and if I do, I know I'm going to forget somebody and piss someone off. But if not for all the people on the bash committee who were like, Nancy spent the last 2 weeks before the bash driving around to people's houses and picking up raffle baskets for the raffle. And we gave the raffle money to Sweet Paws Dog Adoption, pet adoption agency in Groveland. But that was an intricate part of what we were doing, because there were people that wanted to contribute but didn't have a lot of money, but said, hey, I've got a basket that I won at some other event that I want to donate to your event. And so Nancy spent literally almost every waking moment of the 2 weeks prior.
Yeah, those baskets were nice.
You were great.
My wife won a bottle of wine.
Did she? Good.
She won a bottle of wine, which I wasn't happy about, because prior to that, her and Jana were drinking wine and making fun of me. So the two of them ganged
up
on me. Yeah, yeah. It's
very easy to do, by the way.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, and then, you know, you had people like Maria Fiato and Brenda Rossi who were driving around picking up checks.
Correct.
So someone would call me and say, hey, I want to donate $100, but I don't want to send it on PayPal because that costs you money. Can I drop a check in the mail? Well, we have to write a check to the kid in the room that night. So if you're mailing me a check the day before the bash, it's not going to get to me until afterwards. And I have to cover that. And I don't know how much we're going to make at the door to be able to cover that. So Brenda and Maria were driving around and going knocking on people's doors saying, hey, I'm here to pick up your bash check.
That's amazing.
Right? And and I offered the money for gas. They all said no. Right? I had people like Sharon Marie who...
She won an award.
Because I got so fat, none of my clothes fit. So we had to rent a suit. So Nancy, a week before the bash, brought me up to Men's Warehouse at the Rockingham Mall. And I almost had a stroke trying to get in. Because you park your car and then you've got to walk for half a mile to get to the friggin' Men's Warehouse. And so when we got there, I really thought like, oh my God, am I going to have to go to the hospital from this place? But I made it back from getting my fitting. And then they called me and said, your suit is ready. Well, Nancy couldn't pick it up. And there was no way I was making that walk by myself. So I called Sharon Marie and Sharon Marie said, Tom, I told you anything you need, you call me, I'll drop what I'm doing and I'll do it. I love what you do for your bash. So she went up to Men's Warehouse and she picked up my suit. Now that sounds like a small thing, but that was something I was stressing about for 2 days. How am I going to get that suit once it's ready?
It takes a village.
Right? So I had all these people who pitched in. They all helped. Denise running the raffle tables. We had Bob DeMauro and Grocery Girl selling raffle tickets in the room. I had people driving around the week, 2 weeks before, picking up checks, picking up raffle items, dropping off tickets to people that bought tables.
And what about Michael Arcola? The food. That guy is amazing. He
Salvatore did the catering for this event. And he didn't just show up with like ziti and broccoli. Like he didn't go cheap on this.
The food was good.
It was like veal masala and chicken. And like he had like really high priced, high end. Yes. Dinners.
And he was serving it, and I said to him, you know,
he served, like, he could have just dropped it off, and my people could have served it.
I patronize Salvatore's on occasion, and we've had many functions there. My wife had a 40th birthday party when I turned 40, and we had my parents' anniversary, and there's all kinds of christenings and stuff. And I told him, I said, I love your place except for one thing. You put desserts in that case as you walk out, and you know me with my sweets, right? And I have to walk out of the building like this because I'd buy everything in that case. And he laughed. He thought that was funny. But they do a wonderful job, and he's a great person.
Chrissy, can I bother you for some water? I'm just got my cotton mouth is just so horrible right now.
He does a great job, and he's very charitable.
Yeah, him and Phil are great people, and they do this event for free every year. They donate the food.
Was his husband Phil there? Because I didn't meet him.
Yeah, he was there.
I chatted with Michael for a little bit.
Well, it's funny, like with any couple, there's that one that's always, you know, gregarious and personable, and the other one's always shy.
Oh, Phil's the shy one.
So in your relationship, your wife is very quiet and very shy. You're very gregarious and you're out with everybody, right? So with Phil and Michael, Michael's the one that's always like hugging everybody in the room.
Oh, okay.
And Phil's the guy that's like serving the food and just trying to get stuff done and kind of very introverted.
Yeah, my wife said, how do you know him? Have you met him before? I said, he showed up at the hospital with veal marsala for Tom when Tom was in the hospital. And I said, geez, that smells so good. I wish they would admit me. It was that good. So.
There were so many people when I was in the hospital. Thank you so much. There were so many people when I was in the hospital that sent food via DoorDash. And I had my friend Bob. I was really dying for steamers. I love steamers. And I was dying for steamers. And when I was in the hospital at Lawrence General, I couldn't have them because I was on a restricted diet. Yep. Right? I had just come out of the coma and they were monitoring everything. But when I went to rehab up at Hannah Dustin in Haverhill,
my friend Bob
called me and said, do you still have diet restrictions? I said, they just lifted it this morning. And 3 pounds of steamers from Joe Fish showed up in under 2 hours. And I'll tell you, that was probably it was my first real meal after a month of eating nothing, right?
Good.
It was amazing. So,
And you haven't stopped eating since?
I have not stopped eating since.
So when you get back in shape, can I send you to dance school? Because that dance you did was, I don't know what that was. I didn't know if you were having a seizure or if that was a dry heave or what have you.
You know what? Somebody actually videotaped that.
Yes.
And I was hoping nobody would, but somebody actually videotaped that. I should have sent that to Chrissy so she could show you guys how pathetic it was. But I just wanted what I wanted to do is after what a great introduction by Mike
Gorman.
After such a great introduction, I wanted to kind of just show people that like I'm getting better. Like I'm not better. But I'm getting better. And I had 3 doctor's appointments this week already. It's only Thursday.
Oh, boy.
And one was a team of doctors. So it was my primary, my pulmonologist, and another guy. And they kind of like were swapping notes and going over and comparing physically where I am now compared to where I was the first week of January and compared to where I was when I got out of the rehab in mid-October. And I've got like another 8% more function in my lungs.
Good.
And all of my baselines have gone up. You know, anyways, nobody cares about my physical condition.
We're going to talk about scholarships.
But I'm doing a lot better. Good. And, you know, I still have setbacks. I still have days that I can't get out of bed. And thank God it hasn't happened on a Thursday yet. Actually, it has. Actually, we had to cancel a couple of shows. But overall, those days are getting smaller and smaller. So, yeah, let's talk about the scholarships. We'll talk about a couple other things. Before we get to the scholarships, though, I did file another open meeting law complaint about the city of Haverhill. Officials in the city of Haverhill, now with all the happy talk that we have, we got to get serious for 1 second, then we'll go back to the bash, as if you care. officials in the city of Haverhill got spanked last year when they had a secret meeting to screw Scott Wood because he dared to run against their favorite son, Melinda Barrett, who was running for mayor. And they went after this guy over what was a contrived accusation that he 30 years ago might have used the N-word in a text message to some guy. Maybe. There's no chain of evidence that it came from his phone. There's no IP address. There's nothing. It's somebody actually typed out in a Word document and printed out something they claimed was a text message from Scott. And these idiots in Haverhill had a secret meeting so that they could condemn racism and virtue signal and use the body of the Haverhill City Council to help campaign for Melinda Barrett. So we caught them. I caught them. I filed an open meeting law complaint, and the Attorney General spanked them over it. You would think Paul Magliacchetti, who should know better, who has things in his background that we could spend an entire show on that would literally result in him resigning from his position right now, Paul, if you're listening, you would think that that guy would be flipping smart enough to stay away from something like this. But no, 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 no. He's got to be part of the inside crowd. These people are all shilling to be part of whoever the inside crowd that has power is. They all have to play the political game, and they all have to pick pile and persecute somebody and make somebody the foil so they can be the good guy. So Paul Magliacchetti, who actually went to an open meeting law training less than a few months ago, 2 weeks ago, had a meeting, a secret meeting, and I'm going to call it a secret meeting, even though technically it was in public, because the open meeting law says you can't discuss anything at a public meeting unless it is posted what you're going to discuss 7 days prior. So you can't just in the middle of a meeting bring something up and vote on it, because the public has to have enough notice to know if they want to go and talk about it. Right? So they can't just say, you know what, Mr. Consoli, last night the city council voted that they're going to put a sewer easement across your property and there's nothing you can do about it. Yeah. You'd be like, well, wait a minute. If you told me, I could have come and told you why that's a bad idea or how I can help you do it or whatever. So you have to have notice. So just because you discussed it in public, if you didn't give public notice that you were going to discuss it and take a vote, it's not a legal vote. It's a violation of the open meeting law. So these clowns in Haverhill, on the Haverhill School Committee, here's what they did. After Scott Wood lost the mayor's race, he now sits on the Whittier Tech School Committee, and the Whittier Tech School Committee is chosen by the Haverhill School Committee. And he was the representative from the Haverhill School Committee on the Whittier Tech. So they decided now that he lost the mayor's race that they were going to throw him off the Whittier Tech School Board, even though his term isn't up.
Do they have something against this guy?
Well, yeah, he ran against Melinda Barrett. How dare he? How dare he run against Melinda Barrett? She is the favorite son. She is for equity, diversity, and inclusion. And as long as you say those words, as long as you run around crying about racism and talk about white privilege and say diversity, equity, inclusion in every sentence, no one can touch you. That's the rule of law at local politics. Hmm. So Scott Wood dared to run against her, even though he's a Democrat, but he's a conservative Democrat, so that doesn't count. They decided that they're going to destroy this guy. So he's on the Haverhill Police Department, and after she wins as mayor, she orders the chief not to give him a shift. So he's suing for millions of dollars, and he's going to win because he is a Haverhill police officer, and they won't pay him, and they won't let him work. So while that's going on, Paul Magliacchetti decides he's going to virtue signal. And again, shame on you, Paul, especially given what we know about you. He decided he was going to pick pile, and so they had this illegal secret meeting where they passed a new policy that they didn't tell the public they were going to do to throw Scott Wood, a brand new policy that never existed before, to give them the power to throw Scott Wood off of the Whittier Tech School Committee. And then the following day, Melinda Barrett, who beat him for mayor, sent him a letter saying that his job has been vacant and then publicly posted his job, all of which is illegal. So I filed an open meeting law complaint. And here's the funny thing. This happened 2 weeks ago. Where was WHAV? I love Tim Coco. I say this with no malice whatsoever. But Tim Coco has been putting his finger on the scale for Melinda Barrett on this since day one. He has. I'm sorry. He has. And it hurts me to say it because I gave the guy a First Amendment award. But, you know, sometimes people do really great things and you congratulate them. And then there are other times when they don't and you got to give them a slap. He deserves a slap. He has done nothing but show for Melinda Barrett on this since day one because Scott Wood does not hold his preferred political views. Sorry. That's just the case. And for 2 weeks, HAV said nothing about what the Haverhill School Committee did to this guy. illegal meeting, passing illegal policies, using illegal rules to throw somebody off a board that, whose term isn't even up, and then publicly posting the book. And now they're all circling the wagons that I filed this complaint. Now they're all pretending, oh, we didn't know. Paul Magliacchetti, you went to a public meeting law training. You knew. You knew, and your colleagues knew. And you got spanked last time, and you got a warning last time. This time you're getting a $1,000 fine. I will bet everything I own on it. So that's on Haverhill. There's going to be something in the Valley Patriot next week. And we've got a couple other things coming up in the Valley Patriot, but we will preview that another time. So let's get back to the bash. We had incredible fundraising for this year's bash. Just imagine if I'd been completely healthy for the whole thing. Dave Idconsoli. Can you imagine if I had been healthy through all, like if I had started in September, that $58,000 number, can you pull that up, Chrissy? That $58,000 number would be probably somewhere around 65, I think, if I had had, if I'd been able to put the time, because we were doing music bingos to try and get these numbers up in the middle of August. And so, and that number is reflected in there. We actually used that for the Lawrence High School because I knew the Codys were going to pour it on.
And
this
now
year.
there was only two scholarships under the $5,000 right. threshold that you were trying to get them up on. So that's not bad.
Last so my goal every year is to get each kid over 5,000, and then anything else after that is a bonus.
Pretty close.
And we did get them very close. And in full disclosure, the Edmund Lowe scholarship at the bottom, that's not a kid that we pick and give money to at the bash. That's a scholarship fund in the name of Edmund Lowe, the first troop to ever die in the line of duty in Afghanistan. They have their own event. They have their bash in May. Yeah. And they pick a kid and ask us to come to their event to help them present their check. So we would just, this wasn't one of our scholarship kids. We kind of threw that in because we were going to just try and help them. Yep. Like, while all the publicity is on us, why not try and help them raise some money for them?
And does Mr. Lowe pick a kid from Salem, New Hampshire?
Yeah, they're from Salem because that's where his son went. Yeah, and he was ROTC in Salem High School. So, in full disclosure, really only one of our kids, and that was for the Phil Glendie scholarship, was under the $5,000. But look at that top number.
Not bad.
Now, that top number was $14,000 in the room. It was actually $13,000 in the room. And then Greg Morris pulled a $1,000 check out of his pocket to make sure Lawrence High didn't pull what they pulled last year and do a last-minute rally and made that $13,000. In the room, it went from $13,000 to
$14,000. Yeah, so, it's 11.
And then over the last few days.
11-4 was Lawrence High.
Yeah, right. So then over the last couple of days, checks that people sent before the bash started arriving that nobody called and said were coming. So we've now bumped that $14,000 to $14,200. So I now owe Bridget Gaffney. She'll get a check this week for $200. And if any more comes in, by the way, if you want to donate and you say, look, I'm sorry I missed it. I wish I could have. You can still donate to these kids. We will update this tote board on Facebook. We will thank you publicly. If you're a business, we'll give you free advertising. We'll do whatever we can to help you. If you want to kick in, we will make sure we get every flipping penny to every one of these kids. In fact, we ate the Venmo and the PayPal fees, which topped off at, I think, $1,685 or $83 this year that cost us out of pocket. But that's why we asked for sponsors, right? That's why we had FH Can sponsored us for $1,000. I'm sorry, $500.
Yeah, and even Eileen Suarez from the Lawrence High ROTC, they beat last year's record by almost $900.
Right, yeah.
And last year was a record before that.
So these are the records we broke. Most all-time amount of money given out at the Valley Patriot Bash. Highest total for any scholarship ever, $14,200 for Cody. Highest ever for Lawrence High School, $11,475. Highest ever for Haverhill. Haverhill's always at the very bottom.
That's the one I shifted to.
Right.
I saw the numbers climbing. So
and she was great. She was there with her mom.
Oh,
and she was also ROTC.
I met her parents.
Did you? Weren't they wonderful?
They
were so nice.
The mother was almost in tears. She was so proud.
She came over to hug me. She said, my English not too good, but thank you.
No, the father was out there with his video camera, and they were like, the mother was almost in tears. I didn't get their names, but they were very, very nice people. Very proud of their daughter.
Now, the Studio 21 Podcast Cafe, $66,250. I think that's their highest ever. And thank you to Dave Garofalo, we got to get him in the room someday because a couple of times we tried to get an award for him. And we tried to trick him into the room. We couldn't get him into the room, but eventually we're going to get him.
Okay.
Because he started this scholarship by just showing up here while I was live talking about the bash one day about 4 or 5 years ago and handed me a check for $2,100.
Yep.
and said, I want you to decide where it goes, but I wanted to go to a kid going into broadcasting or journalism. So we didn't have Methuen High School on our program, and I really wanted them. We put them on the program. But because all the politicians, most of the politicians in Haverhill are corrupt, they're scumbags, let's just face it, they were like, well, we don't like Tom Duggan, so we're not going to kick in, and we're not going to share it on Facebook, we're not going to participate, because they don't care that they're taking it out on the kid that we're giving the scholarship to, because they're scummy people. So this scholarship has always been at the bottom. And I've struggled every year and come on this show every year and chastise Methuen officials, with the exception of like Jessica Finocchiaro, for not participating in what we're doing, because you can not like me, but I'm not getting the money. Right? This isn't money coming to me. Every penny, if you donate $100 on PayPal, I get 97 because PayPal takes 3%. But I kick in the extra three and give the kid 100. So you're not hurting me by not giving to these kids. And I tried to explain this, but in Methuen, it's Methuen, and that's what it is. Well, this year they stepped up.
Yep.
This year they finally said, you know what, maybe we're – but plus you lost a lot of guys that were on the city council last year that were troublemakers that aren't there anymore. So a lot of the city councilors, I had three call me and say, I want to do it anonymously because I don't really need the publicity. Translation, I don't want the other politicians to give me crap for participating in your bash. That's fine. They wanted to do it anonymously. They did it anonymously, so you'll notice I didn't attack any Methuen officials this year. And their number was
You shouldn't be attacking people unless they do something wrong.
Well, when you run for office pretending you care about the children and then say, I'm going to hurt a kid because I don't like the person raising the money, that's to me doing something wrong. Like Danny Langevin, our in-house lesbian, used to write a lesbian column every month for us, and she's a teacher at Methuen High.
I know this story.
And last year, we called her and said, hey, I know you don't like me. You write columns every month calling me a Nazi. That's fine. I still publish it, whatever. But the kid that we're giving a scholarship to is actually in your class. Can you share it on Facebook and ask your fellow educators to donate? Because 100% of what they donate is going to go directly to that kid. And she told me to go F myself and hung up the phone. So this is a woman who was writing a column every month saying how much she cares about the children.
If you read what she wrote, okay, let's forget her sexual orientation because you call the ye olde gay valley, whatever. Forget her sexual orientation. She's just an angry, bitter person.
Right.
That is probably scarred by some event in her life. She's not a nice person.
Right.
So why are we wasting time even talking about
it? Well, I'm talking about it because it goes with the Methuen stuff that we're talking about. That, you know, if someone doesn't want to participate, that's one thing. But if you're out there pretending you care about the children, if you're the flag bearer for we're the ones that love your children more than you do, and then you won't even like share on Facebook because I'm raising money for one of your kids, then that's why we fired her. I was like, that's it, you're done.
If she can live with that, good for her.
So we've replaced her. We have new lesbians now, and they got up and they gave me an honorary lesbian award in the room, which my mother was – I looked up. My mother was laughing so hard. My nephew DJ was laughing so hard when Cynthia Sweet from Sweet Paws Dog Adoption got up and gave me an honorary lesbian award. I looked out. My family was in such hysterics. I was like, Easter's going to be really fun this year.
Yeah, somebody at my table said, is this really happening?
Actually, if you watch the video, the funniest part of the video of watching her give me the honorary lesbian award is watching Francisco Urena trying not to laugh. And he's trying so hard. You know how when you try not to laugh, it makes you laugh more and harder? That was hilarious.
All right, what's the next one?
All right, Greater Lawrence Tech. I was a little surprised this didn't do better. Ariel Cavaretta, last year's winner of this, was somewhere in the neighborhood of 7,000, if I'm remembering correctly. And she felt so bad that she actually donated $50 to this. The girl who won the scholarship last year donated $50 to this scholarship. And what really nice people the Valerians were.
I met her mom last year.
Yeah, she was nice really nice. The Cavarettas.
Yep. Nice people.
Whittier Tech Scholarship, Karin Urena, $5,245. And I want to thank Scott Wood, who, while they're trying to railroad him in Haverhill, who most people would be shrinking and not going to public events because of what they're doing to him, showed up in the room, read her bio, gave us money for the scholarship, and actually helped us pick the kid.
Good.
Like, he's on the Whittier Tech School Board, called the superintendent. Superintendent came, which was wonderful. And then the Phil Glendie Scholarship, this was kind of special because
it was a surprise.
It was a surprise. We didn't promote it in the room, which is why I think it was under $5,000. I think if we had promoted the kid in advance, we could have gotten her more.
I had left by that time.
But I really wanted to surprise them in the room, and maybe that's on me.
Do you have a video?
We do, yeah. We have the video of that.
Because I missed
that. Because I called you up for that, too.
I missed. I had. I was driving that night.
I get it.
I had
you were a designated
car,
driver.
Yeah, I had a car. I had a car full of people, and
there's a lot of drunk people in that room.
Not me. I had water.
So Rick Belanti, who DJs for free every year.
Yep.
His daughter graduated this year. She qualified for this scholarship, and we were kicking this around in January as to the person at Lawrence High School that usually picks the winner of this scholarship was not getting back to anybody again this year. We had this last year too, and I said last year, if it happens again, we're just going to drop Lawrence High out of this until we find someone that'll help. And so we were kicking around, how do we get somebody from Lawrence High to help us with this? And somebody in the room said, hey, DJ Rick does this for free every year. He probably charges about $1,500 for an event like this or whatever he charges. If you add up the 20 years, this guy has given us like $20,000 with the free DJ services. Why not help the guy out? His daughter just graduated high school. She's graduating high school. So we did. We gave them $4,575.
Excellent.
And then the Edmund Lowe Scholarship, which was amazing. The Lowes are just always so humble. Mr. Lowe comes with his son Norman every year, who I think for the first 5 years, I butchered his name at the microphone. Finally, I got it right. And we did some great stuff with the awards, Dave. We didn't talk about it much because we were so busy trying to raise money for scholarships. But we gave, for the third and fourth time ever, we gave a Lifetime Achievement Award out that night. Mm-hmm. They were both surprises. Somebody ruined the surprise for Joe Bevilacqua. I was so pissed off. Because when you're trying to surprise somebody, you got to rely on people keeping their mouth shut. And there's always people out there that have to, guess what I know? Guess what I know? Like, there's always those small-minded people out there that don't care that they're ruining someone's night, but they so desperately want you to know they know something you don't know that they've got to spill the beans. So somebody spilled the beans on Joe Bevilacqua, got a Lifetime Achievement Award, and we tricked him by calling him and telling him his son was getting an award. Because usually he comes to the bash and then leaves because president of the Chamber of Commerce, he does 30 events like this a week. So he can't sit at every event. So usually he comes in, he waves at me, he gets a drink, and then he leaves. So I called him and said, you got to stay this year. Your son's getting an award, and I want you to come up and present it to him. So he was going to come up, and then we were going to pretend we were giving the son an award and then turn it around and have the son present the award to him. Someone ruined it. Shame on you, but someone ruined it. But he was in the room, and we gave him that award. We also were really, really surprised. So we called up during the vocational school scholarship, Leo Lamonte, who was the chairman of the board for decades.
The best.
Who got elected in 1985, the year I graduated high school.
Still the best.
He was defeated last year because he's white. Let's just face it. It's Lawrence, and white people just don't win anymore. But if they had voted based on competence, he would have easily topped the ticket again. So he spent 38 years, I believe, if I do my math right, on the vocational school board. And we gave out the Voc scholarship and called him up to help us with that, to hold the big check. And then while he was up there, I handed the award to the Superintendent Lavoie, who he admires greatly, and had Superintendent Lavoie present the Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah, I was there for that.
And that was wonderful because when people are underappreciated, and that's what we do. The whole reason we do the awards at the Valley Patriot Bash is to find people who are underappreciated. People don't get a million awards. People don't get the Exchange Club and the Rotary Club and the Lions Club awards. But people who do really amazing things and don't get appreciated, we try to find those people and appreciate
them. Next year will be the Christine Cunningham Award
for
going over week after week after. And I want to know, when I was temporary host, she had me like, okay, she's in my ear and she had me on a short leash, but Tom, you're a recluse.
So my favorite part of the night was obviously getting my honorary lesbian award. But
all right,
what was your favorite part of the night? Because you were there for most of it.
So watching the event through my wife's eyes, this was the first time that she attended. And when she saw Michael Gorman and what TMF does, she had no clue.
Yeah.
And she was very moved. She said, this guy is amazing.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, he's great. And God bless him. He's young. And with the TMF, I could never do that stuff.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
TMF movement does. You know, Jana was in my ear going, they're amazing humans.
Yeah,
you know?
They are.
So I've never heard that term before. But yeah, I figured, you know, amazing people. But yeah, my wife, with the Edmund Lowe Scholarship, hearing the story about the Lowe family and meeting the Dan Strange, or I forget their names, the parents' names.
Oh, Defaria.
Defaria.
Yeah, family.
Meeting them, oh, what nice people.
Yeah, they were really nice.
Their English isn't very good, but you could tell.
Yeah.
They're very warm, humble people. They were very, very moved that their daughter got that award.
Right.
So it was nice seeing it through the lens, through someone else's lens, because I had been multiple times, and my wife thought it was great, and, you know, it was fun. So I enjoyed it.
Well, that's good. So one of the things that we didn't talk about real quick, we had we surprised TMF. So TMF was in the room. They're the people that feed the homeless on Wednesday nights. And by the way, not just on Wednesday nights. They go on other nights, too. They just don't publicize
$5,800.
$5,800. So we got $2,500 from AAA.
Yep.
And then we surprised them, Enterprise Bank, who I've only been banking with for a month.
Oh, I told that story at the
Did
table.
You?
I said he was with Santander.
For 20 years.
For 20 years.
Never gave a dime.
I never swear on this show, but Santander, you guys suck.
Yep.
I did business with them once many years ago. Horrendous.
Yep.
My bank is TD Bank. It's my primary. I have a couple different banks that I use, but they're terrible. You were a customer for 20-plus years. They never showed up, never gave you a dime.
Never. And we asked every year.
I've heard really good things about Enterprise Bank. I've never been, done business
I'm
with
trying
them.
To lure you over.
But they came to your event. The woman gave, I don't remember the woman's name, so please forgive me.
Jessica Phillips.
Jessica comes to the bash, first time, new customer.
Right.
Okay. And says, we want to be involved in the community. Here's a check for $2,500 to TMF.
Right. And they gave $500 for the scholarships.
I missed that part.
In under a month of doing business with Enterprise Bank, they gave us $500 for a scholarship and $2,500 for TMF. And then the Lawrence Lions Club, which I'm the president of, we got approval from our district governor to kick in an additional $800 for TMF. So they ended up with they walked out of there with $5,800 to feed the homeless.
Feed the homeless.
And they came and bought their own tickets. So, I mean, they came to give money to us. They came to help me. And by the time they walked out of the room, we made sure that they had a lot more than what they kicked in for.
Who was the guy at the door collecting money?
So it was either Keith Wadica. Keith Wadica.
I was giving him cash, and he was stuffing it in the envelope.
So last year at this time, Keith Wadica was in a coma from COVID, and all of our raffle money went to him because he owns Daily Dose Cafe at Pawtucket Medical at Riverwalk, and his business was tanking while he was in the hospital. So all of our raffle money went to him last year. So it was so wonderful that he was in the room this year at the door helping us as a volunteer instead of just enjoying the night like everybody else.
What a large presence he was. He's a big guy. I'm handing him cash, and no one's getting by him without paying. So
he was there to make sure certain people didn't show up and cause trouble.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, they tried. They went to the bar, but they didn't. He was there to make sure they didn't come in. So I know, Chrissy, I apologize. We're over. let's roll up Mel and I'll thank our sponsors. We could have done a whole hour today. Next week, we're going to talk about, do you remember a couple of weeks ago when I blew out a couple of big stories and I said, don't be surprised if somebody files a court action. Do you remember when I said that? I said, they're going to come after me. Watch them come after me. Well, within 2 hours of getting home, I had a knock on my door from police and they handed me a court action and I'm not allowed to talk about it. But next Thursday, we are going to go into intimate detail about how some people tried to use the court system to silence a journalist from reporting on a public story about a public employee. And so that's something you can definitely look forward to next month.
Before you roll up, Mel, I have one thing. Ryan Hamilton, our state rep, you owe me a phone call or an email.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, please don't forget me. That's all I want to say.
Yeah, don't forget Dave Inconsoli.
Yeah, he owes me a phone call or an email.
And he's usually pretty good. Like, there are other reps that are bad at it.
I just
really
want to say, don't forget me, please, because it's something I need his help with.
Okay, all right. And I'll shoot him a text after this. I know he watches, so he'll be
able to. No, that's why I said.
But his dad watches.
He was very, very nice, listened to my concerns. So I just want to say, don't forget me. I know he's busy.
Yeah. All right, we want to thank McLennan Real Estate Century 21. We're going to have the McLennans on here in another couple of weeks. The real estate market's really going crazy. Zanny Pesci Law Office, Marsan and Son Construction, EIS Investigation and Gun Training, I guess. And I say I guess because I'm just I can't read this. My eyes are bugging out. Borelli's Deli, Part 28, Shaken Seafood and Tomo, Clear Path for Veterans, New England, AFC Urgent Care, of course, Pleasant Valley Landscaping Contractors, and a free shout out to JG's Ice Cream. Thank you, Chrissy, for letting us go over again. Thank you, Dave Garofalo, for kicking $2,100 in for a scholarship this year. And everybody who donated or sponsored will be prominently featured in next week's Valley Patriot newspaper, as well as my lead story that's already written called Perjury. Sounds like Melvin Taylor says you got to go home. And he's playing tomorrow night. Look it up. So go home already.
The views and opinions expressed by the hosts, guests, or callers of this program do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Studio 21, Podcast Cafe, the United Podcast Network, its partners or affiliates.